Today, it's Rosemary Clooney, who was born on May 23rd in 1928. Let's hear Nancy Wilson tell Rosemary's story on NPR's Jazz Profiles.
Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, too.
In the 1950s, she was a megastar. Beginning with Come On to My House in the summer of 1951, she had 7 gold records within 4 years. She graced the cover of Time magazine, married a famous actor, appeared in movies, and had her own television show. In the late 60s, her life and career plummeted. But 10 years later, she began a series of songbooks that launched her second career and established her as one of our greatest interpreters of American popular song. I'm Nancy Wilson, and on this edition of Jazz Profiles, we're celebrating the life and music of Rosemary Clooney.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the breeze on high sang a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire under stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above. You'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to and love.
Well, the first Clooney I think of is the movie star,
songwriter Dave Frischberg.
And I think of her as Bing Crosby's singing partner. To me, she was magnetic on the screen. I thought she was beautiful. She was a bona fide movie star. And career number two, she's become the kind of the curator of pop songs, sung in a certain jazz-informed way.
Jazz historian Gary Giddens.
Because she was also an enormously popular singer, doing the kinds of tunes that and arrangements that Mitch Miller created in the 50s, people forgot how good she was, but ultimately she completely remade herself within the context of jazz, making records with small groups the way Billie Holiday had done. And I think it's one of the most impressive bodies of work, the recordings of the last 20 years, of any singer in or out of jazz.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings. Just one of those things.
Unlike jazz singers who improvise on a melody, Rosemary sings it straight. But her impeccable taste, unerring sense of time, and profound feeling for lyrics make her very comfortable in the world of jazz.
She doesn't sit up there and scat like Sarah or Ella Fitzgerald did. Rose would never do that.
Jay Linhart.
Still, she loves to listen to the solos. She knows a good solo when she hears it. She's very much in tune with what's going on.
Not every record she made is a jazz record. I mean, I say this about Frank Sinatra, too.
Will Friedwald.
But she certainly knows where one is. You know, she knows where the beat is, and she can swing. She has that rhythmic motivation going behind her, and there's an underlining jazz foundation behind everything that she does.
I'd say she's the best ballad singer ever around.
Jazz singer Anita O'Day.
She's so precise and understandable, and she sings a good melody. I do just the opposite. I fight the melody. That's called jazz. It's called improvising on the chord, you see. So it's a different style, but she stays with the melody. I can't stand singers that sing melody. Well, I can stand Rosemary Clooney.
If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, my dear, and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
Rosemary Clooney approaches a song like an actor approaches a role. The song is a story, and the melody a stage on which the drama of a lyric is played out.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go, and I must bide.
In terms of interpreting lyrics, Sinatra, Tony Bennett, and Rosemary Clooney are really in a class by themselves.
Rosemary's long-term arranger and accompanist, John Addo.
They all really have the innate ability to take a lyric and make it their own, and really make it like you're hearing that song for the first time.
She can penetrate the dark side of a lyric, and she can also lose herself in the exuberance of a very bright lyric.
Gary Giddens.
She can take something that you never even think about what the words mean, something like Danny Boy.
Oh, Danny Boy. Oh, Danny Boy. I love you so.
And all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking about what the lyric means.
Like her friend, Bing Crosby, Rosemary has a natural sense of time. And she, like Bing, makes it look oh so nice and easy.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love.
The thing she does that is remarkable is she pays so much attention to the lyric, and she delivers it so simply and with such exquisite time that a whole orchestra can just key on her singing and play along. And that's why Bing Crosby loved her so much and used her, because they both had this natural talent for placing the phrasing and just in a beautiful time.
But let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold our horses. To rush would be a crime. Nice and easy does it every time.
Rosemary sings the story of a song simply and sincerely. Her approach is understated rather than histrionic.
Even though she does sound sophisticated, there is sort of a very faint country thing going on.
Will Friedwald.
It's not necessarily a New York urban kind of a thing, or an East Coast or West Coast kind of a sound. It sounds very much like, you know, from the heartland and from the heart.
Singer Linda Ronstadt.
Rosemary makes you feel comfortable. She makes you feel like you're sitting in her living room. She's going to bring you a cup of coffee and tell you a story that you're very interested in hearing.
The problem now, of course, is to simply hold our horses. To rush would be a crime.
The thing that always struck me about her is how natural she sounds and how human she sounds when she sings.
Dave Frischberg.
As if she doesn't sound like a packaged vocalist. She sounds like a person singing to me.
Nice and easy does it. Oh, nice and easy does it every time. Every time.
every time. Well, hello there, good old friend of mine. You've been reaching for yourself for such a long time. There's so much to say, no need to explain. Just an open door for you to come in from the rain.
If Rosemary's songs sound believable, they should. To evoke the drama of a lyric, she tries to relate it to some personal experience.
I need to be able to take something that's happening to me in my life, either at the present state or in the past, that I can put into this dramatic situation, that I can take that point of view. For instance, Coming from the Rain is a love song about a man and a woman. Not to me. To me, it's Coming from the Rain, and that's my children. And that's what I think of.
And it looks like sunny skies. Now that I know you're all right, time has left us older and wiser. I know I
joy or pain, love or tragic loss, whatever emotion the song calls for, Rosemary has felt it in her dramatic and often turbulent life.
And I think of us like an old cliche, but it doesn't matter 'cause I love you anyway, coming from the rain. Coming from the rain. Coming from the rain.
Rosemary Clooney's first public performances were at her grandfather's campaign rallies. She warbled tunes to help elect him mayor of Maysville, Kentucky, where Rosemary was born on May 23rd, 1928.
I would sing on a street corner or in a room where he'd want to show me off, sort of. I had no feeling about it one way or another. I just sang. I always knew that I would sing for my life. I always knew it.
Rosemary's parents had a shaky marriage. She and her younger sister Betty alternated living with their two sets of grandparents. Their basic source of security was each other, and their mutual love of singing only added to their closeness. They were not only inseparable companions, they were singing partners.
Sisters, sisters, there were never such devoted sisters. Never had to have a chaperone, no sir. I'm here to keep my eye on her.
We would sing, you know, on buses when we went to school. We'd sing without making any noise. It's funny because the throat, the thing that you do with your throat when you change from note to note, is just an exercise. It's just something that you do. So we could do that.
We stick together the same in the rain or sun. Two different faces, but in tight places, we think and we act as one. Those who...
One day, the Clooney girls, by this time living in Cincinnati, gathered enough courage and car fare to audition for radio station WLW. It was 1944. Rosemary was 16 and Betty 13.
We didn't know that she had to have, you know, a piece of music for the piano or anything like that. We just went along and auditioned. And they said, well, where's your music? I said, we don't have any and we don't need it. But we did three songs.
Straight nothing, fly right. Do do do, straight nothing, fly right. Do do do, straight nothing, fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
And those same three songs, they made us sing over and over for different people that they would bring in. And so by the time we got finished auditioning, we had the job.
Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
WLW loved the Clooney sisters and featured them in most of their live music shows. They sang not only with the station's big band, but also with Chet Atkins' country and western group and a jazz sextet. This early introduction to a variety of styles would have a lasting influence on Rosemary.
You're the only one for whom my heart's a sighing. When your lips are touching mine, oh, it's funny how I feel.
I had no prejudice against anything. I didn't say I sing this kind of thing and that's all. I was open to all kinds of music, and it never occurred to me that I couldn't do it, because I had done it from the very beginning.
The Clooney girls stayed with WLW for 2 years, while also singing with a big band led by Barney Rapp. One day, band leader Tony Pastor came to Cincinnati and heard about the singing sisters, who had become local celebrities. One listen was all it took. He asked the girls to go on tour with him. With their Uncle George watching over them, Rosemary and Betty toured with the Pastor Band for 3 years. As Rosemary began to do more solos, it was clear that of the sisters, it was Rosemary who would make singing a major career. She made her first recordings with the Pastor Band.
I'm sorry I didn't say when I made you cry last night.
This one, recorded in 1949, was a minor hit, and Rosemary was recognized as a promising new talent.
I didn't say I'm sorry when I made you night.
In 1949, the Clooney sisters left the Pastor Band, Betty heading back home to Cincinnati to a normal teenage life, and Rosemary to New York City to make a record for the Columbia label. The timing couldn't have been better for the aspiring singer. The years between the big band era and the onslaught of rock and roll would become the golden age for singers, and Rosemary Clooney one of its brightest stars.
I went on to New York with no fear. There's a wonderful feeling sometimes, and I guess it's because you're kind of content wherever you are. I was very happy at the radio station in Cincinnati. I was happy about joining the band and happy about the contract with Columbia and everything, but I always knew that I would be just as happy back in Cincinnati. I just wanted to sing, that's all. I didn't care where it was.
Willie, I love you, my darling. I love you with all my heart. Tomorrow we might have been married, but rambling has kept us apart.
Rosemary's first hit for Columbia was Beautiful Brown Eyes. It sold nearly 500,000 copies. Rosemary started getting hired as a solo act. Meanwhile, a classical oboe player took over as Columbia's A&R man. A bearded, cigar-chomping dynamo, Mitch Miller had one ambition, to produce hits. The first thing he did was renegotiate Rosemary's contract, signing her to a longer term. And the second thing was to ask her to record a song she didn't want to do. She didn't know how to do justice to an Armenian folk song with a harpsichord accompaniment.
Very young people sometimes take themselves very seriously. And then if they have a measure of success, then they say, oh, well, I'm really so important that I can't bother with this. It's just too trivial for me to be involved with. So I think I was in the midst of one of those. So I said, I don't think that I can do this. And he said, well, let me put it another way. You're fired if you don't. I said, I understand that. I'll be here.
Come on to my house, in my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house. I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do. Come on to my house, my house. Come on. Come on to my house.
Come on to my house became the song of the summer of 1951. Rosemary's Italian accent, which he had picked up from Tony Pastor's musicians, was heard on radios and jukeboxes all over America. Where it wasn't heard was in Cuba, where the singer had gone after the recording session.
Went back to New York, and as we got off the plane, we got in a cab, and Broadway at that time had maybe three or four record stores with loudspeakers on the outside. We passed by Broadway, and everyone was playing Come On to My House.
Come on to my house, my house. I'm gonna give you a Christmas tree. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you marriage ring and a pomegranate. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you peach and pear and I love your hair.
And I had no idea that it had happened. It had happened literally in, I recorded about 3 weeks before I left, and I was gone for 2 weeks. So it was 5 weeks, and it was out, and a hit, or on its way to being one. It changed my life, literally.
Come on to my house.
Come on to my house sold over 1 million copies, and Rosemary Clooney had her first gold record. Within 4 years, she would have 6 more. Her most popular song, Hey There, sold 2.5 million copies and was the number one hit of 1954.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise.
If the voice had a magnetic appeal, so did the person behind it. In 1953, Rosemary made the cover of Time magazine and appeared in her first movie. She married classical actor Jose Ferrer and gave birth to 5 children within 5 years. Television beckoned, and she had her own show in 1956. But movies and television were sidelines. Recording was always Rosemary Clooney's first priority. Country, jazz, Latin, children's music. She sang it all. Will Friedwald, author of Jazz Singing.
At the height of her career, you know, in the 1950s, when she was still getting on the pop charts regularly, she was a rare example of someone sort of in the mold of Bing Crosby who made an attempt to work with lots of different kinds of bands. I mean, she never wanted to have one sort of set Rosemary Clooney sound. Each song that Rosemary did or each album that she did really put her in a whole other genre. I mean, you've got her doing country songs like the Hank Williams things and Half as Much.
If you loved me half as much as I love you.
There's a great album that she made with a really swinging organ group, which sort of sounds like a jazz organ kind of thing, you know, a 50s like a Jimmy Smith. She's done albums with strings. She's done albums with a Latin band. I mean, that's a wonderful album she did with Prez Prado for RCA.
Corazón de melón, de melón, 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 melón.
She was always trying to take chances and do something different and do something interesting. And as a result, it's quite a formidable catalog.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For everybody.
One thing that almost nobody even talks about is she did many, many, many wonderful children's records during her Columbia phase. And there's tons of that stuff, and they're all great.
One of Rosemary's forays out of the pop realm was into the world of Duke Ellington. In 1956, they collaborated on an album titled Blue Rose, named after the tone poem written for Rosemary by Duke's partner, Billy Strayhorn. Billy started out on the East Coast, where the Ellington band recorded the tunes he and Rosemary had selected. Then he went to the West Coast, where a very pregnant Rosemary, who had been forbidden to travel by her doctor, recorded while listening to the pre-recorded tapes.
It was a work that I will never forget. It was the closest association with any producer I've ever had. The title song, Blue Rose, is just a riff that I sing in the back. He said, I don't want this to be a performance song. This is when you're in your bedroom and you're getting ready to go out on a date that's really important. And Ellington's on the radio and you're singing this with the band. But what you're doing and what is important is you're combing your hair.
Baba, Bobby, Bobby.
It's a beautiful piece of scat singing, the title track, Blue Rose. And that whole album is just, to me, perfect from start to finish.
Will Friedwald.
It's a supreme example of the Ellington Band rising to the challenge of working with a great voice.
Ba, 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 boo, ba. Ba, 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 boo, ba.
Another departure from pop was an album of love songs with lush arrangements by Nelson Riddle. The album, appropriately called Love, reflected both the love Nelson and Rosemary felt for each other and their sadness at ending their brief but intense love affair. But this was not the perky pop singer that public was used to, and RCA, her label at the time, was afraid it wouldn't sell. They canceled its release. And in fact, when Reprise issued it a few years later in 1963, its sales were minimal. It remained a collector's item until Reprise reissued it a few years ago.
Yours sincerely, the one who loves you dearly, to think about it nearly takes my breath away.
Gary Giddens.
It's an irony that a lot of her greatest recordings were made in the period of, say, 1956, when she did Blue Rose with Ellington, to early 1960s when she made Love. And those were the records that everybody ignored because they weren't pop hits. People didn't know how to categorize them. So people didn't want to hear the serious aspect of Rosemary for a long time.
Oh, but my thoughts are full. How can I make them plain? Ever your humble servant, faithfully I remain.
Just ahead, Rosemary's life and career fall apart, but like a phoenix rising from the ashes, she comes back swinging. I'm Nancy Wilson, and you're listening to Jazz Profiles, a tribute to Rosemary Clooney from NPR, National Public Radio. You're listening to JM Jazz, the Great American Songbook, on WETF, the jazz station, in South Bend, Indiana.
Where do you start? How do you separate the present from the past?
In the 1950s and early 60s, Rosemary Clooney seemed to have it all. She was a popular star of records, movies, and television. She and her actor husband, José Ferrer, wined and dined with the elite of show business. And she had five children whom she adored. But balancing a high-profile career with family life was a tremendous strain. Her marriage failed, and due to America's love affair with rock and roll, her career faltered. Then the moment came when the stress was more than Rosemary could bear. It was June 1968 at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles during the Robert Kennedy campaign. Rosemary, who was campaigning for Bobby, was standing just a few feet from the candidate when shots rang out.
My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. The bullet that fell the Democratic presidential hopeful shattered Rosemary's fragile mental state, and she lost her grasp on reality. She suffered a nervous breakdown and was hospitalized. As she regained her mental stability, she came to realize just how important singing is to her. For Rosemary, singing means everything.
Everything. Everything. If I couldn't do it, I wouldn't live. It's something that I've done my whole life that gives me pleasure, that gives me a connection to other people that I don't even know, that gives me a connection to people that I know very well. It's what I do. That's what I do. I sing.
She was ready to sing again, but the world had all but forgotten about her. She took whatever gigs she could, just like any singer starting out. Old friend Bing Crosby came to her rescue.
And say, isn't Rosemary Clooney on the program tonight?
Certainly.
Well, where is she? Come up with it.
Easy now. Remember your dizzy spells.
Don't be such a hoarder. Bring Rosemary on.
Okay. Rosemary.
Yes, Bing?
Look what just crawled in, Rosemary.
Hi, Rosie.
Hello, you wonderful man.
Oh, this girl knows.
That's Bing Crosby and Bob Hope bantering with Rosemary.
Hey, old friend, are you okay? Old friend, what do you say? Old friend, are we or are we unique? Time goes by, everything else.
In 1975, Crosby asked Rosemary to go on tour with him. The tour led to a recording contract and the beginning of her second career. In 1977, she did her first album for the fledgling Concord label out of Concord, California. Then she began touring with three other singers in an act called Four Girls Four. After 6 years with Four Girls Four, Rosemary was ready to go out on her own again. Meanwhile, she continued to record for Concord, a series of tribute and concept CDs that made her a singing star once again.
They're writing songs of love, but not for me. A lucky star's above.
Jazz historian Gary Giddens.
Ella Fitzgerald, of course, created the songbook idea in the 1950s. She made a whole series of them. And these records and Sinatra's recordings at the same time helped to kind of codify what the book of standards were, so that by the time Rosemary made her songbooks, it wasn't about making a case for Harold Arlen or Irving Berlin or George Gershwin, because those cases had been made. Her songbooks are very different. They're much more personal.
Rosemary chose the musicians and songwriters to celebrate because of her personal connection with them. Ellington, because she had worked with him. Billie Holiday, because she was the godmother to one of Rosemary's children. And Bing Crosby and Nelson Riddle, because they were close friends. She did a tribute to Ira Gershwin because he lived next door, and because he and George, who had once owned her house, had written some of their songs in Rosemary's living room. Rosemary's tribute albums always came from the heart.
It all began so well, but what an end. This is the time a feller needs a friend. When every happy plot ends with a marriage knot, and there's no knot formed.
for a long time, there was very little interest in these records. They were kind of cult records, but she just kept at it. And after 20 years, I think, and especially after she started regularly appearing in New York again, people started looking at those records and saying, this is not the Rosemary Clooney of 1954. She is a great singer.
Every time it rains, Ben is from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains Ben is from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over town.
She rediscovered songs that weren't in the standard book that everybody knew. She would begin to sing songs that a lot of people had forgotten, maybe because Crosby had a hit with it in 1937 and nobody ever did it again. Those songbooks are exciting in part because she really expanded what the accepted book of standards is. If a young singer today had a complete collection of Rosemary's Concord Jazz records, it's like a thesaurus of popular songs because her taste is impeccable.
There'll be pennies from heaven for you.
In 1990, Rosemary was booked into the prestigious Rainbow and Stars Room, high over Manhattan. She was back in the city where she had first achieved stardom, and so comfortable with her life that she could share it with her audience.
She's really very funny.
Jay Linhart.
I mean, she's just surprisingly funny. If you had never seen her before, you'd be surprised at how much you laugh as she talks to the audience.
It was 1958. I was pregnant with Maria. Maria! Maria's here. my daughter's here. What, honey? Oh, I told your age? Well, you're not really my daughter. Did that clear it up? Okay. This is my daughter here at the round table in the front. That's all right, sweetheart. It's okay. Lay off the champagne now, sweetheart. Let Mama finish the show and we'll go upstairs.
In 1991, Rosemary began a series of autobiographical recordings. She sings about what it's like to be a girl singer, to be always on the road, to be a mother and a grandmother. In other words, what it's like to be Rosemary Clooney.
It's 6 p.m., supper time in South Bend, Indiana. And you figure what the hell you can eat in your motel. So you order up room service on the phone. And you watch the local news and eat alone. You gotta take what little pleasures you can find. When you've got sweet Kentucky ham on your mind, on your mind. Nothing but sweet Kentucky ham on your mind. It's 10 p.m. They're rolling up the sidewalk in Milwaukee. And the only place to eat is just across the street. So you sit there with a bowl of navy bean and you turn the pages of your magazine.
What it's like to be Rosemary Clooney is to be on tour. One of her favorite songs is Sweet Kentucky Ham by Dave Frischberg. It not only harkens back to her birthplace, but tells the story of life on the road.
Oh, sweet Kentucky ham. That's coming home. And it's being on the road. And the road doesn't change from Tony Pastor's band to the best hotel in town, you know. You're still on the road. And room service closes at a certain time. And all those things that you go through, I know the feeling, and I know the feeling of the people that do it.
But it's still a nighttime town if you know your way around. And despite yourself, you find you're wide awake. and you're staring at your scrambled eggs and steak. And you must admit your heart's about to break when you think of what you left behind. And you got sweet Kentucky ham on your mind, on your mind. Nothing but sweet Kentucky ham.
Sweet Kentucky Ham from Girl Singer, recorded in 1992. I'm Nancy Wilson, and you're listening to Jazz Profiles with a tribute to Rosemary Clooney.
I wanna be a sideman, just an ordinary sideman, a go along for the ride man, responsibility free.
A major part of Rosemary Clooney's life is spent with musicians. Though she may be a superstar like the one in the song, she knows what it's like to be a sideman.
I wanna go and join the local, buy a dark suit, start paying dues.
She's been involved in so many bands and known so many sidemen that she has a real love of that topic and that whole subject, and she understands every nuance of that song. And this really is a musician's song. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world who won't understand many of the references in it. But she understands it thoroughly and is very proud she understands it, I think.
Jay Linhart, Rosemary's East Coast bassist.
I want to press my own coat and pants. I want to ask for an advance. I want to be a side man.
Gary Giddens.
It's ironic for a star of her stature to take the part of the sideman in this song. She just mines it for so much wit. At the same time, there's a tremendous poignancy about it, an honesty about what the life of a sideman is.
I wanna be a sideman, just a highly qualified man, a real professional pride man, old indispensable me.
I love sideman. You want to be a sideman, you can be a girl, you still want to be a sideman. I want to work for a superstar. I want to hang in the hotel bar. I want to... all the things that you want to do there.
I want to spend all my time with music and musicians.
I just think that... I think that sideman, anyone that... that sees the camaraderie that goes on with guys in a band when they travel together. Their goal is the same thing. They're working on the same arrangement at the same time. There aren't many jobs where you have that. And that means getting up, at some ungodly hour and catching a bus and sleeping on the bus and bitching about it.
I want to work for a superstar. I want to hang in the hotel bar.
Believe me when I tell you that when a tour is over, you can't wait to get home. And to Rosemary Clooney, home means a large and loving family that includes her 5 children and their growing families, and Dante, her husband.
My daughters are very close to me. My sons are close, but not as close as the girls. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't hear from both of them, at least once.
Thank heaven for little girls. For little girls get bigger every day.
And I have granddaughters who are wonderfully close to me. Little girls are wonderful to be around. And also you see yourself at their age.
Then there are the friends in Rosemary's life, like singer Linda Ronstadt.
She's a kind of a mom. My favorite place to see Rosemary is in the kitchen with Dante, just wailing. You know, I'm just pasta and salads and fabulous things are coming out of the kitchen. And she has a huge dining room table, and pretty soon the whole thing is just covered with food and everybody's seated. And she just kind of waved her arms and got it all done. And the whole family's there, and, you know, nephews and daughters and grandchildren kind of come, and everyone crowds around the table. And there's enough for everybody, and everybody feels included and appreciated, and including me.
Like Rosemary, Linda started out as a pop star and ventured into new territory. She looks at Rosemary not only as a close friend, but as a mentor.
As a rock and roll singer, I thought I had pretty good diction, but when I came to sing the standards, I realized I was just a hopeless mushmouth, and I started listening to Rosemary's diction, and then I started really working it in the bathtub and in the shower, just pounding those consonants, because I realized that nothing I was singing was coming through. And she still, you can wax the floor with me and those things, but, you know, it's just a great thing that I get to add to my own personal repertoire. I get to learn from her every time I hear her sing.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met.
Heartfelt emotion, sung in a spare style, is the hallmark of the mature Rosemary. The closer she gets to the core of her being, the closer she gets to the essence of a song.
There's a lot of thoughtful expression and emotional content to the early work. You know, as good as it is early on, it's the later performances, for me, are, you know, much more feelingful and much more emotionally intense. She can certainly make you feel a song much more acutely now than she could 50 years ago or 40 years ago.
The voice has just a wonderful depth and roundness to it, and she no longer has to show off anything. She's way past that. The style is more elemental. She actually sings fewer notes and makes each one of them count for something.
We're getting the most authentic Rosemary. I mean, she did some wonderful recordings earlier on, but what I hear is her working up to the level of her intelligence, which is profound, and to the level of her artistry, which is really, really considerable.
The secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. Any fool can do it. There ain't nothing to it. Nobody knows how we got to the top of the hill. But since we're on our way down, we might as well enjoy the view. The thing about time is that time isn't really real.
I really think that I'm freer because I don't give a damn. I think that maybe as you get older, well, you could become a crotchety old lady. I think that's more than possible in my case. But I think more than anything else, I'm a free person. I really can say almost anything I please. So it's freed up an awful lot of feelings that I probably have not expressed. I just have more freedom, and I feel as though I can take it farther. It's because of what I feel, and I think it's my age. What are they going to do to me? There's not much they can do.
With her appearances at Carnegie Hall, an Emmy and four Grammy nominations, plus numerous other awards, Rosemary Clooney is at the peak of her career once again. For over 50 years, she has been an American icon. Her hit songs such as Come On to My House and Hey There are part of the 1950s soundscape, and her recordings since the 1970s have kept alive a treasury of popular songs that are a major part of our musical heritage. The inscription on her 1995 ASCAP Pied Piper Award says it best. Rosemary Clooney, an American treasure and one of the best friends a song ever had.
I'm a singer, and that's what I am And that's the one constant in my life. I was a singer before I was a mother, before I was a wife, before I was anything. I was a singer, and that's what I am.
On the road again, I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Our tribute to Rosemary Clooney was written and produced by Joan Merrill. Post-production engineer, Andrea Jackson Gewurz. Jazz Profiles is produced by Tim Owens. Assistant producer, Madeline Smith. Website coordinator, Pat Breslin. Murray Horwitz is vice president of cultural programming.
On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway.
We'd like to say a special thanks to Will Friedwald, Kathy Mouton of Linda Dozeret's Communications in Los Angeles, Concord Records, Video Transform Post-Production Facility, Palo Alto, California, and NPR's Los Angeles and New York bureaus. To email us, or for more information about this and other programs in our series, contact us through NPR's homepage on the World Wide Web at npr.org. That's npr.org. Major support for Jazz Profiles comes from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people to make the arts and culture an active part of their everyday lives. Additional support has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts.
The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm Nancy Wilson. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
JM Jazz hopes you enjoyed that. Rosemary Clooney and Bing Crosby had a long professional relationship. They worked together on the classic 1954 movie White Christmas, did two duet albums, Fancy Meeting You Here in 1958, and That Travelin' Two Beat in 1965. And they did a daily radio show for CBS in the early 1960s. In 1977, Bing Crosby asked Rosemary Clooney to join him on a European tour, which jump-started her flagging career. She signed then with Concord Records and did 25 albums for them. One was a tribute to her pal, who had just died, called Rosie Sings Bing, released in 1978.
Came a long way from St. Louis. You climbed the ladder of success.
You seen the Lincoln Continental that park up in front of my fancy address.
You came a long way from St. Louis.
Oh, I broke a lot of hearts between.
I met a gang of gloomy gals who were doing all right till you came on the scene.
I blew in from the Middle West, certainly impressed the population hereabouts.
Well, baby, I got news for you. I'm from Missouri, too, so naturally I got my doubts.
I got them dropping by the wayside.
A feeling I ain't gonna know. You came a long way from
St. Louis, but baby, you still got a long way to go.
New York in June, how about you?
I like a Gershwin tune, how about you?
I love a fireside when a storm is due.
I like like potato chips, moon like motor trips. How about you?
How do I get my hat? I'm mad about good books. Can't get my fill.
And Frank Sinatra's looks give me a thrill.
Have to stand in line,
holding hands in a movie show
when all the lights are low. May not be new, but I like it. How about you?
I've seen pal Joey twice. How about you?
Caught it, loved it. And think Kim Novak's very nice.
She.
Yes. What else is new?
I love a baseball game played beneath the lights.
I love the Pirates, find them a favorite nine, daytime or nights.
Stockholder.
How'd you know?
That Marlon Brando smile makes me feel tall.
Helps you, huh? Well, I tell you, Bob Hope now, he's more my style.
Really?
Hokey knows and all, he's stuck with it. This whole world's in a sorry way, that's what the papers say.
It may be true, long as those stars still shine.
Long as your love is mine,
I like it fine. How about you?
I get along without you very well. Of course I do. Except when soft rains fall and drip from leaves, then I recall the thrill of being sheltered in your arms. Of course I do. But I get along without you very well.